I don't know if they still do it, but when I was in school, we had the PE class, physical education, and one of the things that sometimes some schools did was you'd have an archery class. How many of you took an archery class in PE? Okay. And I don't know how it was in your school, but I will tell you that one of the things that was interesting in our school is, you know, they had the archery class, but they really didn't have very many arrows. And so, you know, you'd be given your one or two arrows, and maybe three if you were the teacher's pet. And, you know, so everybody would shoot their arrows, and then everybody has to lay their bows down because it would make sure it was safe. And then you have to go pick up your arrows, run and pick them up, come back, and do it again because they didn't have too many arrows. And well, come to think of it, maybe that was their idea, was to get us to run back and forth. But you know, you kind of learned that having a bunch of arrows would really be advantageous, and some of you are already ahead of me, but as we walk into this discussion, but I want to do an experiment to start with, and I'm going to get a few of you to do exercise. I want to know if you are, I'm not going to make you run up and down, if you are a firstborn, all right, you're of your siblings, if you're a firstborn or an only child, would you stand up? Okay, take a look around. Really interesting. In fact, I want you to notice Dr. Margie isn't standing up. That's interesting. Okay, you can sit down. Now here's why I do that. You know that there are, in parts of the world, the push is to only have one child. So you think about all the ones that were sitting here, and so that means the load of responsibility would fall on just those firstborn. In fact, Dr. Margie's ministry, I wondered about that. I didn't ask her ahead of time because I wasn't sure. But so here's a ministry that you're going to hear more about later that has God has just, I know as we've talked and as we've watched over the years, she had no clue what she was getting herself into when she went there. But understand, that's a ministry that she wouldn't be happening right now. An amazing thing, you know, where, and even in our part of society, I remember back, a lot of us are baby boomers, and you remember, I think this started in the baby boomer era of, you know, we got too many kids, you know, those parents, you know, our parents didn't have a TV, so obviously we had lots of kids, we have too many kids, and we're going to overpopulate the world, and so we need to, you know, we really need to start getting responsible. That's the way it was put. We need responsible. Responsible people, you know, are smart enough to know that one or two kids is plenty. Let's think about the rest of the world, and that really began as a push, and if you're watching politics right now, it's entered back into a lot of the conversation. We're hearing this again, and so there's a world's vantage point of this whole thing about children. In fact, in China, up until 3 years ago, back in 1970, about that same period of time is when China made it actually illegal to have more than one child. And they have just 3 years ago, they did away with that law because they were finally facing the ramifications of it. All of a sudden, they realized we don't have enough grown-ups to support the elderly, and it was going to fall on the government to do this, and they started thinking, well, this is not a very smart move. And on top of that, another ramification, if you watch this, you know, if you're only allowed to have one child, and abortion is very accessible and encouraged, then you're going to be pretty picky about which child you have. And in that society, a male child was much more held higher priority. And so hundreds of thousands, probably millions of baby girls were aborted. Now they got a problem. They got a lot of males and not a lot of females. And so all these ramifications, all these things that in human logic they thought made sense, that did not make sense. And, you know, we're always in this framework of evaluation. And when I say we, I'm talking about us as who say we are followers of God. We're always in a framework where we're evaluating, okay, the world's ideas, logic, standards against what the Word of God says. And in other words, what God says to us. And often those are in conflict, maybe more and more so, but always has been the case. They're in conflict. And so we got to make a decision, a determination as ones who claim to be followers of God, who do we trust the most in this discussion? And so that's part of what we want to talk through this morning is, okay, God says this, the world says this, what do I believe? And so I want us to go back. This is the passage we started in last week, so we'll go back there. We'll start there this morning, Psalm 127. So if you have your Bible or your devices, it's a little short chapter. And we dug into it last week as we opened up this discussion in marriage and family. We started with these verses, these first two verses, where he says, unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchman stands guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he who grants sleep to those he loves. For he grants sleep to those he loves. And we talked about in this whole perspective, we have a vantage point in our perspective in the home. And, you know, as parents, we make decisions. We decide what's important and what our values are. And often, you know, sometimes our values, what we think is the most important, actually runs counter to what God says. And it takes us a while to realize that, we're sure, you know. And so we're chasing after these things that we decide, this is what my family needs. This is what it's going to take for us to be a quality family. This is what it's going to take for me to raise children who go off now and make a difference in society. And so we chase after these things, and then later on we find out, well, that really wasn't it. And God says, you know, look to the designer, because if you follow my thoughts on that, my principles, then you will find out that you've been successful. You won't do this in vain. And he says, you know, some of you're rising up early, you're saying it's not that you're not working hard at it, it's just you're following the wrong course. And then the result is, it's like, man, I got that wrong, you know. There's many a father who has invested himself, and in his mind he was investing himself in his children, but he put in all the long hours and tried to climb the ladder and thinking, you know, I can provide better for my family, only to come to the end and say, you know, I miss so much. So these are the kind of principles we're talking about. And then he moves on in this passage where we're going to go this morning, because then he brings children into the picture. And he says, sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children, a reward from him, like arrows in the hands of a warrior. You wondered what the... No, you didn't. You knew where I was going with that. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies at the gates. So he said, he brings that into the picture. And it's interesting, you know, I've kind of put together a list. So he said, here's the question. How, and this is the question we're always asking. How does the world's vantage point, at least we should be asking, stack up against God's vantage point? And today we're going to talk in the realm of children, but we should ask that question in every realm of life. As, okay, I know what the world's saying, what does God say about this? And then we got to make a decision again, who we trust, who we're going to follow, and it gets complicated sometimes, but this morning we want to specifically talk in the realm of children, because we're hearing some of this stuff again right now. We're, you know, even in this, in the amazing, that's not the right word, but this past year, as the developments in the battlefield of the abortion issue right now, and as I even introduce that, you know, I don't know if there's any ladies here who've walked through that, and if you have, This is not to bring condemnation on you. I know what you've heard. I know what you've been told. And that's what we're being told now. You know, we watched some areas, some states make decisions this year, and more that are talking about it, where they basically said that baby does not matter until a mother decides that they matter. Even after birth. The mother still has the right to make a decision, and you know, each time one of these things happen, it's interesting, because I can remember back in the early days of this whole discussion, because it's been part of your life and mine, most of us, that we would say things like, well, you know, people would warn, they'd say, you know, you open this Pandora's box and here's what's going to happen, and everybody, all of us said, no, it will never go that far. And even now we see this happen and say, well, at least they'll never do this. Wait and see. But so we're in there, that realm, and there's this perspective that children really don't matter until mom decides they matter. And we're horrified. We thought no one would ever verbalize that, even if they thought it. But now we hear it in the public arena. And so how we gotta think this through from God's vantage point. And even, you know, even in the realm of our society, and as I grew up, and again, if you're one of these that kind of bought into this, and you know, that whole idea of with the baby boomers is, you know, you need to be responsible. We need to start being wise about this. And you know, one or two children is plenty. And that made a lot of sense to a lot of us. Obviously, it didn't to Mary Lou and I. But some of you. But again, we always got to test these things by the Word of God. So he walks down through there, and I kind of want to do a little bit of a valuation, which is every time I looked at this, I thought, oh, I could have done that a little different. But so he starts off. He says, "Here's God's vantage point." He says, first of all, sons are, and let's just translate it the way it should be. Children are a heritage from the Lord. So let's do a little comparison. So the world says, and maybe not too many, some would verbalize this way, that realize children are a burden. They're gonna change your life. Yeah, it's not all bad, but realize you're gonna have to give up if you're gonna have children, especially if you're gonna have, you know, more than one or two. It's, you know, you're gonna sacrifice, and then God says, no, wait a minute. His vantage point says, no, they're a special gift passed on from God to us. He says, that's my vantage point. Recognize it. How many of you are, well, maybe we get older. Sometimes we do. We do this with our kids. Mary and I do now. But, you know, especially when younger. But how many are saying, you know, really, I don't want you to give me very many gifts. You know, most of us are kind of like, bring it on. And yet, God, and that's God's vantage point of children. He says, they're a special gift from me to you. That's his vantage point. They're not a burden. They're not, you know, they're, in fact, he goes on. We're going to look at a couple passages this morning. He says their children are a reward from him. He says, yeah, they're not, you know, the society, world, well, they're a drain. You're not going to be accomplished what you thought you could accomplish with your finances. You're going to have to work a lot harder to make, you know, even more go farther, because now there's more drains on your finances. You're going to have to change a lot of things about your life. And so that's kind of that's kind of played out, you know. They're a drain on the world system. We got to be responsible. And God says, no, they're a reward. They're a bonus, you know. Children are a bonus that I'm giving you that, you know, if it wasn't for that special gift I'm giving you, wouldn't have it. And, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know who of you, last time your boss came to you and said, hey, we're giving out bonuses this year, and you said, oh, no thanks. You know, they're a drain. I really don't need the extra bonus. I don't need the extra money. It'll just make life a little tougher for me. And yet that's sometimes the vantage point that we run into in the world. He says, like arrows in the hands of a warrior, our sons born in one's youth. And so he says there, you know, the world will say they're a career killer. You know, you thought your plan was to go so far in your career. In fact, Mary Lou and I, I don't know if she remembers, but in the first church we pastored up in New York State, there was this couple I went to visit, moved into our community, lived right across the street from the church. And so I went to visit, and I think they were married. I don't remember, but we got talking, and somehow the subject of kids came up, and they said, oh, we're not having any kids. And I said, really? Yeah, because she has, you know, she's gone to school, and she's got this career, and I got the career, and we put kids in there. One of us is going to have to back off our career, and we've just determined that that's not a smart move on our part. A career killer. And God said, no, let me tell you about you. Their preservation. You know, they're your future. You want to know the truth? You think your future is in that career? No, your future is in those kids. And so his perspective is so different. When I read this sometimes, let's go on to the last one. He says, they will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. Not only their preservation, they're your protection. And in my, this is my imagination, but I see this, you know, this old guy sitting out out by the gate, and some bullies come up, and they kind of say, "Hey, we want your property." And he says, "Well, no, this is my property. I want to keep it for my family." "No, we're taking your property." And he says, "Oh, okay." He says, "Hey, Bubba, Rocky." And these five big bruisers come out, and they say, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, maybe not. Maybe we'll go on down to the next house. You know, he says, they're your protection. And so all these things, God's vantage point is so different than the world's vantage point when it comes to children. And so we got to make that decision. Now I want us to move to another passage. Let's move over to Genesis now. Let's go back. In fact, we're going to spend a little time next few weeks in this passage in Genesis chapter 1. But go to Genesis chapter 1. And because I want us to see, he continues this discussion, or actually begins, let's say, begins this discussion in Genesis chapter 1. And the verse 27, actually, we'll spend more time talking about that in the future, but I'll read it for today. So he starts off by saying, "So God created them, created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them." We'll come back to that, not today, but in the weeks ahead, Lord willing. He goes on, he says, "And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it." And so God, it says, he gets in this, he says, now, so God, after he created man and woman, he says, God blessed them. Now, here's what that word blessing means. It's a Hebrew word, and it covers all these bases. It talks about power for success. You know, how many of you said, you know, I really don't want to succeed? That's kind of, you know, my plan is to be a failure. That's really what my goal has always been. And he says, and God says, what we're about to talk to is part of God's plan for your success and my success. It also means prosperity. God says, I want you to prosper. And so we're going to talk about the way I have planned to help you prosper. And then he says, and then it also means fecundity. I didn't even know what that meant. In fact, I didn't know how to pronounce it. And I'm sure not sure I still did it right. But I did do the old Google. How does this, how do you say this word? Because I wanted to say fecundity. And it said, no, it's not. So anyway, but that means inventive power. You know, some of us say we would like to make our mark in the world. We'd like to make a difference. And God says, yeah, I want you to too as well. And here's how I'm going to do this through you. You're going to make a difference through this blessing I'm going to give you. And then he says, this blessing I'm going to give you is going to give you long life. Well, what is it? Well, he goes on. That's just, I kind of did the same thing. This whole idea of, he says, I'm going to give you success. Sometimes people say, you know, if you have a bunch of kids, it's just not, you're not going to enjoy life like you were going to. It's just going to, you know, he says, no, that's where I'm going to fulfill you. That's going to be your success. They're not misfortune, they're prosperity. They're not going to rob you of creativity. They're going to give you the power of invention. They're not going to shorten your life. They're going to extend your life. In fact, you know, grandparents know that. We say that. We say, the grandkids are keeping us young, you know, although sometimes when the grandkids have been here, I feel old after they're gone. But you know, so he says, this is all, and it goes into this. He says, God bless them and say to them, be fruitful. And we know where we're going here. He's talking about kids. He says, be fruitful. There aren't any kids here this morning, but I'll bet kids are really glad that he didn't say, be vegetable. Be broccoli. We want you to be broccoli. We want lots of broccoli. Nobody ever said, maybe a few of you have, but most of us don't say, you know what? Don't give me any other stuff. Just give me broccoli. That's what I want. And really, so kids are going to be really glad that they didn't say, you know, be broccoli or be vegetable. He says, be fruitful. He says, kids are fruit. You know, they're wonderful. Those, you know, they're that special that, you know, last night Mary Lou brought her and I both down. She had bought pears a while back. I don't know about you, but you got to let pears get to a certain place before they're good. They're kind of one of those fruits that eat them too early, and it's like, eat them at the right place, and they're wonderful. And so when she brought it down, I said, okay, are they ready? Because I tried one a few days before, and it wasn't. She said, they're perfect, and they were. They were perfect. He says, kids, be fruitful. And then he goes on, he says, increase in number. King James Version translated that multiply. In fact, it's the Hebrew word that's used, and we're talking, that's in the passage, Exodus 16, he's talking about, remember when he started giving manna to the Israelites? Remember that? And so he said to them, they woke up one morning and, you know, they didn't have enough food, and God says, I'm going to supply your need. And so he gave them this manna, this stuff that we're told had kind of a honey flavor to it, and I'm sure it was wonderful. But they woke up that morning, and then that God told Moses to tell them to gather much, because it was, if you remember, it disappeared. It kind of melted away like snow. And so he said, here, go out and gather much. He didn't say, you know, don't just grab a handful and, you know, I'll have more later. No, he says, gather what you need for the day. In fact, he gave him instruction, further instruction, that on right before the Sabbath started for the weekend, he said, gather enough for a couple of days, because, so gather much. And I like what one guy said. He said, this is multiplication, not addition. You know, God's perspective on kids is multiply, be fruitful. They're such an addition. So God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth. Now some of us are getting scared. You know, a couple of years ago, it's interesting, I'll come back to that in just a moment. A bunch of years ago, my kids were all little. We lived in Maryland at the time. So we got on a flight. We're going to fly from Maryland to Oregon out to see my parents and my brother and his wife. In fact, we're going to go out there and visit with the family that was out there. And then we borrowed my brother's van and we took them down to our kids down to see the redwood forest, and just had a really cool trip and spent some time on the Pacific Ocean. It was a blast. But anyway, so we're flying across the Midwest. And when we got that point, because the propaganda was out there, and I heard my kids, they'd come home and they were talking about, you know, that we just, the world's overpopulated and there's not enough food and all these things. And so we're flying over the Midwest, and I had my kids look out the window. And I said, okay, next time you hear that thing about there's just not enough room on the earth, planet Earth anymore for the people, you remember these thousands of miles that you're looking at right now where there's almost nothing. And I got to tell you, I did this yesterday. I thought, well, you know. So I Googled China. Thousands of miles of nothing in China. I Googled India. Thousands of miles in India of nothing. And the problem there is that we have the resources. It's just some of those countries have not, for whatever reason, the resources haven't developed. I ran across this quote by Dr. Moore. Some of you know he is a scientist and specializes in these kinds of things. And here's what he writes, and I thought this was really interesting. He says, man has not yet filled the earth in accordance with God's command. Nevertheless, many people today are unduly alarmed over the so-called population explosion, urging government controls of various sorts to slow down the population growth. We can be sure that God's command was made in full knowledge of the earth's ability to support a large population. Even at the present level of man's technological knowledge, the earth could support a much larger population than it now holds. And we here in the Midwest, we know that better than anyone. We support much of the world out of this little part of the world. You know, that's the problem has never been. God, so again, we're in this situation where who do I believe here? Whose perspective on this do I value? God says the children are a blessing. They're a special gift. They are not a detriment to what you can accomplish. They're a fulfillment. They're going to allow you to accomplish so much more than you ever imagined you could accomplish. This is God's perspective. He said, don't worry about whether the world can sustain it. The world can. The Creator says you're okay. And like I like the way Moore said, based on the technological knowledge we have now, and it's getting better. I got to tell you, when I came back to Nebraska after being away for 20 some years, and I when I was a kid growing up, I was in Kansas, and I worked for farmers. And I remember thinking back in those days, you know, we had really big tractors. We thought. or nothing to it. And you know, I look at now these discs, you know, you had a couple of wide, and now they're like, you kind of do a field, once you're done. You know, it's just amazing. And then the fact that they don't even, you know, I was watching the news the other night, and one of the guys was, you know, out helping with harvest, and he's doing a report, and he's not touching the wheel. The tractor's doing it all, and the GPS is up in the corner. We're at an amazing time, and Mark says, and we're not there yet. God knew. He had it all figured out. So we got to decide whose perspective do we believe when it comes to this. You know, it's interesting. After, you know, the flood came in the scenario, and the world's population was wiped out, except for the 8 people that stepped off the ark at the end. And it's really interesting to note that God then went right back to the first thing he said to Adam and Eve. God blessed Noah and his son, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. That's God's perspective. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth. That's God's perspective of children. And so as we continue and begin to dig into this whole perspective, you know, of, you know, how do we do family? How do we do it according to God's design? How do we do marriage? How do we do this husband and wife thing according to God's design? It's important as we begin this to have God's perspective on these things. How important they are. In fact, we talked last week. God says that when marriage is done right, not only does it produce solid families, but it produces solid societies. We wonder why we have so many struggles right now, and then you trace it back and you find out, well, this started when we started devaluing marriage, how the significance, how important it was to have a mom and a dad in a situation. What a difference that makes. So be fruitful. God blessed them and said, be fruitful, increase in number, and fill the earth. So I want to end with, I ran across this, and you've probably seen things like this before, but I thought this was cute. So the title was Really Important Stuff My Kids Have Taught Me. And I'm not going to read all these, but I thought some of these were really good. Here's what this guy said his kids had taught him. They taught me it's more fun to color outside the lines. They taught me if you're going to draw on the wall, do it behind the couch. That's smart. Ask why until you understand. Now you know what they were doing. They still don't get it. That's why they, you know, they go through that why stage and you're thinking, oh man, I'm so tired of hearing why. They don't understand yet. Ask why until you understand. They taught me to hang on tight. You know, that hang on tight. Taught me that even if you've been fishing for 3 hours and haven't caught anything except poison ivy and sunburn, you're still better off than the worm. Love it, yeah. That's good stuff. It doesn't matter who started it. I'm not sure the kids taught that. I can remember my dad telling me lots of times, I don't care who started it. You know, they taught me that if the horse you're drawing looks like a dog, let it be a dog. Taught me to ask for sprinkles. Okay, there you go. Taught me to save a place in line for my friends. It taught me if you want a kitten, start by asking for a horse. There you go. There's some wisdom there. They taught me that making your bed is a waste of time. They taught me that there is no real good reason why clothes have to match. So there you go. Oh, I like this one. They taught me that even Popeye didn't eat his spinach until he absolutely had to. Taught me if your dog doesn't like someone, probably a good thing that you shouldn't like them either. Taught me that toads aren't ugly, they're just toads. If you work hard pedaling uphill, you shouldn't break on the way down. There you go. This one's good. They taught me that chasing a cat is way more fun than catching it. And then they taught me that it's a good idea to make your mother proud. So there you go. Children are a blessing, God says. Be fruitful, multiply. Fill the earth. This is a special gift from God. And so as we look into and discover his plans, his designs, what he has to say about how to raise them and relate to them, we go into it with that perspective of, okay, Lord, they are such a blessing. I want to know everything I can about this. Let's pray. Father, thanks. Thanks for your word, for your wisdom, for how much you care about us. That the things that you wrote in your word about all the issues of life, things that we wrestle with. You didn't write to constrain us. You didn't write to make sure we understood you're in charge. You didn't write for anything. You wrote it because you wanted to take care of us. You wanted us to be blessed. You wanted us to know what satisfaction and fulfillment of life really was. And Lord, that we're chasing those kind of things. The world chases those kind of things. And you remind us that you got the answers. You know exactly what we need. And Lord, I do thank you. I thank you for those little ones that just in about an hour are going to be upstairs in our building here. And we're going to get the privilege of telling them about you, how much you love them, and helping their parents as we set the stage for their life ahead and their future. And so help us to do that well and to honor them, to see them from your perspective as the tremendous blessing that they are. And Lord, just thanks for my family here, this my church family, and just the opportunity to think this through together. We pray these things in your son's name. Amen.
Let's stand as we close this morning. thanks so much for worshiping with us. We hope you have a great week, and we will see you next time.